Today we return to a sermon series that we started last February, but we interrupted for the season of Lent. And the overall title of that series is Higher Ground, and it's all about high places, hills and mountains in the Holy Land, and events and lives that are associated with those places that still speak to us today. And today's higher ground is one of the most famous in all the Bible. Mount Zion. Mount Zion. We've been reading about it all morning. We've been singing about it all morning. Now, you need to understand something geographically. There are a number of mountains that come together and make up Jerusalem. But only one of them has become a synonym for the entire city of Jerusalem, and that is Mount Zion. It all started with David, a very unlikely hero. David was a good-looking shepherd boy who liked to play his harp and write poetry. Doesn't sound like much of a leader to me, does he to you? Goliath laughed at him. But we all know how that turned out. And he became the second king of Israel at the age of 30. And he was a strong leader. And one of the first things he did was that he marched his men to Jerusalem to take it over. Now, at that time, Jerusalem was not a large city. It was built on the side of Mount Zion. And it was occupied by the Jebusites, and it was extremely well fortified. And I'm reading now from 2 Samuel chapter 6. The king, David, and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." Question. What Mount Zions do you face in your life right now? And the devil is shouting in your ear, "You will never get in there. You'll never get past that." What kind of walls are there in your life that seem like insurmountable Goliaths? And if they're not there today, they were there yesterday. I'm sure you can think of some of them. And the yesterdays are going to turn into tomorrows. You will face them. And the devil just shouts, "You can't get in there," but God whispers, "With me, all things are possible. All things are possible." To whom are you listening? The devil or to the voice of God? Verse 7 and 9, David captured the fortress of Zion. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. If you visit Jerusalem today, you can see the archaeological remains of the City of David on the side of Mount Zion going up the hill. David captured the fortress of Zion. David took up residence in that fortress, and thus began the transformation of Mount Zion from an ordinary hill in Jerusalem to an extraordinary holy mountain. Eventually, David had the Ark of the Covenant brought to that place, and as a result, Mount Zion became the central place of worship for the people of God. But then along came Solomon, David's son. And we all know that Solomon had the privilege of building the first temple in Jerusalem. He had a multitude of workers. Did you know that he had 80,000 stone workers alone? And he had 3,300 supervisors. Can you imagine the headaches without Excedrin that he had to face in that situation? Imagine the enormity of the project that he did. You know what he did? He started by moving up to the top of Mount Zion, where Mount Zion and Mount Moriah meet. And then he leveled the top of the mountain in order to prepare it for the temple that he was going to build there. Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham offered to sacrifice his son. Mount Zion, the place that David had conquered and made the central place of worship, now are melted together in that holy place. And when it was finally done, we're reading in 1 Kings chapter 8, then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes of the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. The central place of worship moved from the side of the mountain up to the top of the mountain to a higher place. God was lifted up. So, the victory of Mount Zion through David and the sacrifice of Mount Moriah through Abraham melted into the mountain of the Lord. And that's why Isaiah said in chapter 2, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. But we'll talk about that more in a minute. First, let me ask you this. What is your view of worship? What is your view of worship? Is it high or is it low? Are you willing to move a mountain in order to worship God? Solomon was. Is your view of worship a rented room at Turf Valley Resort and Conference Center? No. Worship is wherever you are. Have you ever been in a shopping mall and wonder how to find a store, and you've looked at the map, and it says on the map, you are here. You know that place? I've been there many times. You are here. Well, wherever you are is here. And God is here wherever you are. And that's where worship takes place. You may know that in your mind, brothers and sisters, but do you feel that in your heart of hearts? Do you live that in your heart of hearts? God is with you wherever you are. You are here, God is also there with you. Elie Wiesel was a prisoner in a German concentration camp. He had horrible experiences, as you would imagine, and he wrote a book about it called Night. I want to read you a passage from that book. One day, as we returned from work, we saw three gallows. Standing on chairs with nooses around their necks with the three victims. The SS guards seemed more preoccupied, more worried than usual. You see, one of those to be hung was a child. To hang a child in front of thousands of onlookers was not a small matter. The head of the camp read the verdict. All eyes were on the child. He was pale, almost calm, but he was biting his lips as he stood in the shadow of the gallows. Someone behind me was asking, where is merciful God? Where is he? At the signal, the three chairs were tipped over. Then came our forced march past the victims. The two men were no longer alive. The child, however, who was lighter in weight, was still breathing. And so he remained for more than half an hour, lingering between life and death. Behind me, I heard the same man asking, "For God's sake, where is God?" And from within me, I heard a voice answer, where is he? This is where, hanging here on those gallows. the devil shouts in your ear, curse God and die. But God whispers in your ears, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. You are here. I am here with you. David conquered Mount Zion and made the place of worship on the side of the hill. Solomon moved everything up to the top of the hill. And now let's turn to Isaiah. God showed the prophet Isaiah the future glory of Mount Zion. Isaiah proclaimed in chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Now, that was a startling statement for the Jewish ear. Why? Because the most holy mountain to them was Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was feared. Mount Sinai was reverenced. They could not even touch it. Only Moses could touch Mount Sinai. There was thunder. There was smoke. There was loud noise. There was the law given at Mount Sinai. And now Isaiah is saying Mount Zion is going to become the most holy mountain. Mount Zion is going to replace the awe and the splendor of Mount Sinai. Verse 3, Isaiah said, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, on our side of Calvary, we can see what God was trying to say through Isaiah. We understand also Psalm 2, verse 11, which says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. The apostle Paul understood it. He wrote about it in Romans 9, verse 33. He said, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Isaiah looked at Mount Zion and he saw the full gospel of Jesus Christ. You are here. You have seen the full gospel of Jesus Christ. You have come up to the mountain of the Lord. Do you understand what a privilege that is? Do you understand what a privilege that is? How can your eyes be heavy? How can you yawn? How can you sit with your arms folded waiting for this sermon to be over? How can you say, I don't feel like going today? I feel that all those things. Don't you? What a privilege it is for us to be here. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. Now, we've been focusing on the Old Testament. Let's turn to the New Testament. It was on Mount Zion that Jesus Christ gathered his disciples in an upper room on the night that he was betrayed. It was on Mount Zion in that same upper room where Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet. It was on Mount Zion in that same upper room where Jesus said, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. It was also on Mount Zion, in that same upper room where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. It was on Mount Zion where the church was born. David took possession of it and he established it as the focal point of worship. Solomon then refined it and he established a higher place, point of worship. Isaiah prophesied that it would be the most important place of worship, and God fulfilled that because it was on that place that he had his son crucified, and it was on that place that he sent his Holy Spirit. It was on Mount Zion where the fullness of Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Spirit were revealed to us. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 said this, "But you," are you listening? "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the holy Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks." Wow. In light of all that, in light of all that Mount Zion says to us, here's some more questions for you. When you come to the table of the Lord on communion Sundays, do you embrace Jesus or do you betray Jesus? When you come together with your brothers and sisters in this room, are you willing to wash their feet or do you instead want them to wash yours? When you look at one another, do you love one another the way Jesus told us to? Here are two more questions. They're more basic. Have you accepted the Son of God who was poured out for you on the mountain of the Lord? And this, do you have dwelling within you the Holy Spirit of God that was poured out for you on the mountain of the Lord? My friend, if you have any doubt about those questions, let's talk. The Apostle John, in the final book of the Bible, wrote this, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders." That's from the book of Revelation chapter 14. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming when you are going to hear the same sound. You are going to hear the sound like thunder, like rushing waters, of the millions of harpists playing and all the worshipers singing their glories to God. You are going to be brought up to the final mountain of the Lord. You are going to hear an invitation like this one. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. The question is, are you ready? Psalm 24. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Those are hard questions. Here's the hard answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false or lift up his soul to an idol. I promise you this. Listen, you may not ascend the hill of the Lord. You may not go to the highest place unless you have already been to Mount Zion. Unless you have already accepted the Lamb of God as your Savior and your Lord. And if you have any doubt about that, let's talk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the secrets of our hearts. You know if we have given our lives to you or not. And Lord, I pray that for those of us who have, may we all be ready for that final invitation to come up to your holy mountain, to join the harpist and the singers, and to make the loud, joyful noise of worship to the Lamb who is worthy. So, Lord, move upon every person in this room, believer or non-believer, and draw us closer to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.